Welcome back to the Blockchain and Beyond podcast. As always, I'm your host, Farzan. On today's episode, I'm joined by a guest. His name is AP, and he has built a protocol on the Algorand blockchain, which is a notification system which allows users to sign up to specific channels and receive secure notifications from that channel. And this is effectively to combat the attacks of like dusting attacks or attacks which contain certain messages which can lead users to malicious or insecure websites. This interview kind of just jumped straight into it, so here we go.
Yeah, so myself, Vidyanand, I'm from India. So I have experience in, like, I have done my master's in business administration and then worked for multiple companies in here in India, basically in sales and distribution. So in between, while I was working, like, one of my friends introduced me to something called a Bitcoin. And then, like, yeah, I was fascinated because it was, like, fully open, right? So you can see everything on, like, it is an open database. So, like, it hit me, like, yeah, what are things, like, you can do with it? So, like, because, like, I come from, a developing country, you can say, where things are not transparent and there is a lot of corruption. So, yeah, so an open ledger, like, always made sense because, yeah, it gives you that autonomy that you have always dreamt about. Then, like, I started maybe investing a little bit money into Bitcoin and then, like, found out ETH. But I never thought, like, I will be, at that time also, I don't know, like, anything about development. I know, like, yeah, there is something called software development and all. So because my area of interest was particularly very different. Then we were working on another startup which was into printing and maybe like a print marketplace kind of a thing. So it was doing good, but during the time of Corona, like, I think everything was shut down and then print business moved into digital kind of a thing. So we thought that it's not prudent to maybe go forward with that project. And then we, at that, that's when, like, I found out Algorand, and we didn't want to just replicate another project in maybe ETH or something like that without knowing whether there is a requirement for that project, right? So once you build a project, you put a lot of energy, your time. Yeah. I don't know, like, how much time we put into, right? It has been like 1 year since we have started building Notable. So what I thought is that we have to get feedback from the community. So me and one of my friend, Srirag, we came together. Then we were discussing like what we can do. Like, then he was a painter. He's doing his PhD in arts. So we started like Angry Penguins. That's the time when like bull market was at its peak. So we thought that that will give us an opportunity to interact with the community in a better way. And then we never promised any utility for that. And we were like querying and doing a lot of Twitter spaces to know like what is missing in the ecosystem. And then we found out that a notification or a communication protocol is something that is necessary, because by the time like we started, I think the number of decentralized applications on Algorand started increasing. Like, yeah, there came Tinyman, then the other DeFi applications. Mm-hmm. And now we have a lot of applications, right? Yeah. So once the number of applications increase, it becomes difficult for a person to, like, yeah, to have a to just have the interactions, to just note it down, it becomes very difficult, because if you have only Tinyman, yeah, you know, right, what you did in Tinyman. But that's not case when you have 100 of applications. So that's how, like, we came into this thing. So, like, I already had a friend who is a software engineer working. He has an experience in cloud, and also, like, he has worked for best fintech companies in the world. So, like, I asked him, like, are you interested? Let us do this thing. So he's always a guy who is interested in doing things, something learn new mm-hmm. things. He's very much interested. So I told him, yeah, this is the thing. Like, yeah. So he learned, I think, PyTL in 2 weeks. Then brainstorming started, like one of my other friend who is doing his PhD in artificial intelligence. So we three people start sitting together. Actually, we spend a lot of time, I think 6 to 7 months in just brainstorming, like, yeah, how it should be done. I think coding has been done only for maybe 2 or 3 months. That's it.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, at the time there were no box storage. So we wanted to know like how to implement it in Algorand. And we wanted it from the day one, we wanted it to be fully decentralized. We don't want any servers to be running because that creates vulnerability. Now, like the ecosystem is very small, but once we become a good protocol, then people want to do like, yeah, come and get into our protocol and try to mock the system, right? So we didn't want any servers so that we are also safe and the people who are using our protocol is also safe. So that created a lot of problems. Like, yeah, see, you have to be fully decentralized, then you have to build a protocol that everybody can use. So I think 6 to 8 months was spent on that. And then like we participated in the first Greenhouse Hackathon where we created our minimum viable product. So yeah, we knew that by the time we build it, like it is not scalable because the maximum number of channels that you can create is 30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when like we were thinking whether to maybe centralize it a little bit where you can store some channel details in a DB or something like that. That's when like Algorand said that they are coming up with box storage. Yeah, so yeah, I think in December is like we have to wait some time. Like I think we were done with our minimum viable product by September. So I think we waited for 4 months and then box storage came in and we implemented it. I think as of now, like we can create around 1,500 channels and then we can link boxes and like increase the number of channels too. So that's how our story, and now it's going good. Like we have our main testnet running, and testnet got around 920 registrations. That is unique addresses. I think many people didn't believe that we will reach that target. That's a huge number actually.
Yeah.
Now we have got a lot of people coming from outside of Algorand and using our project because we thought that we see if you go to somebody and tell them, please use our product. Nobody will use it. So I was thinking, and also we were bootstrapping. So this is like a fully bootstrap project till date.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought like, how can we like from the feedback and the like interactions with the community, I understood that some incentive is required. So got one of my other friends to maybe create a NFT collection. So it's called the Naughty Boy NFT collection. And it will be a puddle at first. And when you interact with our testnet, you will get a puddle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you interact with our mainnet, it will be converted into a boy kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that created an incentive for a lot of people to come and use our testnet. 920 registrations. We are very happy with it. And now maybe it is like first 1 week of mainnet, we got around 180 registrations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing slowly. We are also looking to integrate with much more applications, maybe like, yeah. And also, we want to have wallet-to-wallet communication and other things to be integrated. Push notifications and other things will be coming soon for that. Like, we are looking into maybe raising some funds so that we can build on these products.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's now what we have done. I think, yeah, it's going in a good direction. So as of now, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, for people who might not be familiar with the project, I think it's, you know, quite important to understand what you guys are doing. And what you've done is you've built a sort of decentralized notification system where you can actually subscribe to what you're calling channels, or you can subscribe to, you know, certain accounts or wallets, and you can actually track which messages that they're sending to their quote unquote followers. And this is something which has showed up quite a lot recently, especially on other chains like Ethereum and Polygon as well, where people are being sent transactions with like scam links, which is causing a lot of people to lose access to the assets and wallets. But this gives you sort of like a surefire way to know that the message that you're receiving is actually from the person themselves, because you've had to specifically go out of your way to subscribe to that person's wallet address and receive their messages. So any message that comes from them, you know, that it's directly from them, and it's unlikely that it's come from anyone else.
Yeah, so unless you have an access to that address mm-hmm. that has created the channel, you cannot send a personal notification or a public notification.
Yeah, yeah,
so you have to sign the transaction. So it is impossible to scam. So mm-hmm. I if you lose your keys, that's the how a scam can happen. We have done two things. So we understood with the interaction that two things are necessary. First one, anybody can create a channel, and first we thought that we will not have a backdoor, but we thought that we should have a backdoor where we can remove channels, because see, a channel can be created and you can send a lot of maybe notifications that are against the policies of common policies, right? Community policies. So if we found out such things, like we now have a backend mm-hmm. backdoor where the smart contract creator can remove channels. That's legally required. So we thought that it's safe to have that. The other thing that we have done is that if you create a channel, we can verify the channel. We will look at maybe your KYC, that can be maybe mm-hmm. NF domains or anything else like KYC that we will look into, and then we will add a V. That is also stored in blockchain. Yeah. So if you want, you can just maybe query the blockchain and see whether the channel is verified or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. So that gives an assurance to the end user that, this channel is verified. And then the channel can send broadcast notifications, that is public notifications that anybody can read. But to send a personal notification, that end user has to opt into the channel smart contract.
Yeah.
Then only the channel creator can start sending notifications. This gives an autonomy to the end user. So then if end user don't want to maybe get notifications from that channel, he can opt out of that smart contract and done.
Yep.
So we want to give up. That's all. Web3 is all about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people maybe as of now, people don't care maybe, but we care about Web3. So if you want to just make money and go out of there, a lot of other ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Web3 is all about giving autonomy to the end user. So when we thought that once we build it, we will build something that will be in line with the ethos of Web3.
Yeah.
That's something that we were very sure about. And I think we were successful in building a product that in line with that.
Yeah, no, I think your product actually, solves a problem. And, what you just described kind of is what I would imagine a decentralized social media or decentralized Twitter could be, where on one side you have the aspect where you can put public broadcasts out, so anyone can see them, but at the same time, you can actually open a sort of private communication channel with, a specific person or a handful of people, which then gives you the core functionality of most social media platforms, whereas public messages and private messages. So I think whether this was intended or not, you've built a solid foundation for your protocol to actually develop a lot further actually integrate with a lot of other potentially larger social media platforms.
Yeah, so and one more thing that we have made sure is most of the other people, other competitors, what they have done is they have created maybe a smart contract and they logged it to their UI. So if you want to use their protocol, or their application, you have to use their UI.
Mm-hmm.
That helps you in maybe raising funds, so because you can show the analytics to maybe the people who are investing, right? We have taken another route. So the problem with that is that you will not grow, because everybody has to come and use your UI. That's something that we understood from our research. Even you look at other protocols, I will not name them, they have not grown. They have got a lot of investment, but they have not grown. So we checked why it has happened, and then we made sure that our protocol is open.
Yep.
So if Farsian is having a decentralized application or a web page and you want to integrate, you can integrate our SDK.
Yep.
And then you will start getting mm-hmm. notifications in your web page. So anybody can use it. So maybe in the future, maybe 10 years from now, like anybody wants to maybe integrate. So like, see, since it is open, so all the web pages or app decentralized applications start integrating it. So that gives us a big spread, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something that also we thought will help us out in the long term.
Yeah. No, I was actually just looking at your JavaScript SDK, which is, yeah, I think, you know, for most protocols, that's such a key thing for being able to, you know, get more awareness about your product out, because this means, you know, your tools can be integrated into a lot of other websites that could be, you know, for example, NF domains may want to integrate it into their platform where, you know, where you can see a list of all the notifications that you have received, you know, which ends up benefiting the user at the end. And it, you know, it gives the freedom for developers to actually decide to use your tools rather than being forced to go and visit your website, which again lines up with the Web3 ethos that you want to sort of embody.
And also we thought that, there are better UI developers than us in the ecosystem. So if they integrate it, like they can see, so the protocol, there is a protocol that is fully on smart contracts. So you can, if a UI developer is very much like he thought through and he is very maybe like creative, he can do a lot of things with this protocol, and maybe applications will come up in a way that we have never thought about. So if Farsian wants, Farsian can only show all the notifications that comes from your channel. That's a possibility that I have seen. Mm-hmm. We don't know like what all possibilities that will come. So we want people to use the protocol and be creative with it. Mm-hmm. And that will give much more juice to the ecosystem itself. So and make the applications in the ecosystem more user-centric. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that we are thinking is if it is properly implemented, I think 1 million transactions per year will not be a problem for us.
Yeah.
So that's what we have calculated.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think that's quite an achievable goal. And you know, this is also something that's, you know, actually very achievable using Algorand as well, because I think we're all aware that, you know, if all of those transactions happened within a few minutes, Algorand will probably not have any issues, you know, processing all of them. So the fact that, you know, you've built this system on top of a scalable network as well actually adds a lot of value. Whereas if you had built this on something like Ethereum, you know, your end user doesn't actually get to benefit, and the cost of using the tool would be so expensive that it wouldn't be worth it, and people would just rather stick to, you know, using Twitter or Discord instead.
Yeah, so this is possible only because we are using Algorand. I don't think any, because see, our each notification that we send is an application call.
Yeah.
I don't know how many blockchains can process this many application calls. So difficult for maybe we can't even think about maybe doing it fully on chain on other protocols.
So
and if you look at other protocols, they are using IPFS or other storage solutions for storing notifications.
Yeah. So let me get this right. So if a channel has, for example, 100 subscribers, and the channel owner was to send out a notification, is that 100 application calls? Or...
Yeah, 100 application calls.
Okay.
Personal notifications, yeah.
Okay, fine, yeah. So will it cost the sender 100 times the transaction fee, or will it again be...
Yeah, it will be 100 into 0.001 algo.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, that makes sense now. Again, you know, that, you know, is still a very reasonable cost to have a secure communication, you know, integration. And, you know, the fact that it's extremely scalable is I think really awesome. I wanna take it a step back to a few things. So, you know, the first thing, or one of the things you said was, you know, you spent 6 to 7 months brainstorming your idea about what to build. And, you know, I think I can sort of relate to that as well, because I'm working with a project, and hopefully I'll also do an interview with them soon. But yeah, our brainstorming has taken up most of our time. And then when we look at the timelines compared to brainstorming and business model, and then also development, the development timelines are so much shorter because there are so many skilled people out there who have these capabilities to actually help us. You know, our development team will be able to do it in, you know, perhaps a matter of weeks or months. Whereas the ideas that we've been discussing, they've been going back and forth, round and round for, you know, many, many months at this time. So do you have any experiences that you would want to share with anyone who's also in perhaps a similar position?
Yeah, so experience means, see, I will tell you. So like you asked me, right, you know, personal notifications. So we were thinking, how can we maybe, is there a possibility that we can send maybe like one time or yeah, optimizations on like how to reduce the cost, but how to keep the decentralization, all these things will come. So we'll talk about these things. Maybe next day we'll come and see, oh, this is not possible because that will be a problem for decentralization. Because we have a lot of constraints on like implementations, right? So we have to be inside that constraints, and then we have to make sure that we are weighting everything equally. So that we create something that can be used by everybody and is beneficial and is also on par with the ethos of Web3.
No, that makes sense. The other thing you mentioned right at the very beginning about blockchain was, I think it's something that not many people actually, you know, perhaps understand, but you mentioned that, you know, Bitcoin was, you know, an open, transparent database. And you said yourself, you know, in India, there's a lot of corruption. And again, in Pakistan, where I'm from, there's also a lot of corruption, you know, local, it's everywhere from, you know, the top of the government to, you know, the local governments, where there is a lot of corruption. And having, you know, an open database that anyone has access to, I think, you know, a lot of people, especially I would say in Europe and America, perhaps don't see that as much, because the systems there, you know, they come across as a lot more transparent, even though, you know, there are still obviously cases of, you know, fraud and corruption. I think, you know, in other countries, it's a lot more apparent. And I think, you know, those people have a much more stronger ties to what blockchain can actually offer them.
Yeah, of course. There are a lot of things like everywhere, I think we can see where blockchain can be implemented. And I think RBI, the Reserve Bank of India, has already started pilot for the CBDC. Started, I think, and they are now very bullish on CBDCs because they understood that, like, yeah, a lot of, I think, costs can be cut where, like, they need not print money, and also, like, the RBI get direct control over the monetary policies, and also more tax can be collected. You know, right? Most of the people don't pay taxes. I think, like, when you talk to people from US and UK, they cannot even, like, yeah, think about such a scenario. So that's when I realized that, yeah, tax collection make a big difference.
No, 100%. And, you know, I think India is also a very interesting space at the moment, because not even, I would say, Algorand specifically, because obviously, I think some local governments have also signed up to do like the medical NFTs on Algorand. Even aside from that, you know, India is popping up a lot in terms of startups, and not even just in, you know, the blockchain space or the crypto space. In all industries, there's so much talent of people, and, you know, people who are willing to work really hard to make a really solid product. I think it's quite interesting to see how India has developed, especially over the past 5 to 10 years, to where it is now. Have you sort of seen that, you know, being in the country as well, or what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think Algobharat has taken the right step, maybe focusing on Hyderabad. Hyderabad, like, T-Hub is having a lot of lot of, I think, startups focusing on crypto. Like, because I studied in HCU, Hyderabad Central University, which is very near to T-Hub. So they are like ISB, and ISB is where this T-Hub is, and it's very nearby to us. So yeah, I know like what's happening. I think it's in IIIT, so not in ISB. So IIIT Hyderabad, International Institute of Information Technology, that's IIIT.
That's right.
So there is where T-Hub is. So we are neighbors, so I understood like, yeah, what's happening. They have courses, they have a lot of things happening. One of the premier, I think, incubators in the country. So we have now a tie-up with them, and I think that's a great tie-up to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of talent in universities and people who you know, have a lot of great ideas. And the fact that there is support for them, and you know, support for, I would say, you know, Algorand specifically to help them understand and build, you know. And I think Algorand has the benefit of, you know, being so cheap and so fast, where people can so easily create things and see if they work. And if they don't work, they can easily start again with something new, because there's so little cost to actually testing your application that you no longer have to make it work. You know, even if it doesn't work, you can easily move on. And I think that's such a key factor for, you know, innovation in our space.
Yeah, of course. So when we were planning to do our product, so we thought that's why I was like, so people ask me why you need public notifications. So I said, like, see, public notifications are much more necessary than private. Like, yeah, because when you consider cost, people, even see other people who are integrating our applications, they will also think about reducing cost. So if you want to send the same message to everyone, you need not send a personal notification, mm-hmm. right? That's how like that broadcast notifications came into existence. So like this all happened because we did a lot of brainstorming. And I think in India, I'm very bullish about like Bangalore and Hyderabad, mm-hmm. where a lot of things are up. Even in, like, I'm from Kerala, where like a lot of, I think, institutions are coming up, maybe offering courses on blockchain. And maybe in 2018, if we are thinking about blockchain cryptocurrency, people thought that we were scammers or kind of thing. So never, like, I had maybe one or two friends like whom I can discuss about blockchain. Mm-hmm. Now things are changing, like a lot of other people are getting interested in blockchain. How, like, even one, some of my friends who thought it was scam now came back to me and said that, yeah, it's a very good technology. So we are maybe in the next 6 to 8 years, maybe this will change, and I think blockchain will become very mainstream. And yeah, I think that's something that I would also want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. You know, I've seen it as well, you know, at work, where people are more, when you mentioned blockchain, people are actually receptive to the idea now. They've heard about it, they know that, you know, it has applications, and people are more understanding of the technology. So yeah, I agree with it. It'll be interesting to see how it develops over the over the next few years as more people come into the space.
Yeah, I think NFTs have changed the scenario. Like, mm-hmm. DeFi, how many people, like people who know trading, they will use DeFi. Yeah. But NFTs were like, when NFTs came into existence, like people started collecting, you can do, right? You can see, this pick looks good. It resonates with me, I can buy it. So like that's something. So I think music NFTs will bring more, I think, mature crowd, mm-hmm. even Lofty. That, yeah, mm-hmm. I am happy that like Lofty has now on ramp and off ramp. So maybe in a couple of years, people will not understand whether it's running on blockchain or not. So people just use their fiat to maybe purchase kind of tokens or like mm-hmm. real estate. That's when like blockchain becomes successful, because you should not know that,
the technology
there is running. Yeah.
I think Lofty is like probably the best one I've seen, because even it's one I show to my parents, and my parents are interested in it as well. And you know, my parents are in their like 40s and 50s. So, you know, the fact that they're interested in it, you know, brings a lot of hope that, you know, there are a lot of interesting applications that can be developed for people to actually, you know, not care about what the underlying technology is, because that's the core of it. You know, blockchain is a back-end technology. It's not a front-end technology. You know, it's not meant to change how you see things or how you interact with them. It just changes where and how your data is stored and accessed, which most people don't care about anyway. Most people couldn't tell you how their data is being stored on YouTube or Facebook or Google or any other website. You know, it's not something people generally think about. So I think that's, you know, something that we need to focus on a lot more.
Yeah, and I'm very bullish on music and maybe the NFTs and their applications, because if NFTs comes into movie industry, like that's going to maybe like transform the movie industry itself. I think movie industry can be even more profitable, and like collecting things related to movies become it becomes more accessible to even the common people.
Yeah.
So that's where like I'm bullish about nowadays. Like if you want to collect things, I think you have to have that network.
Yeah.
To have like maybe a poster that is maybe signed by say maybe a Shah Rukh Khan or maybe like. So yeah. That takes, like, I think you have to be in the network or you have to be in the right place, but I think NFTs can make it even easier, right? So yeah. That's where like I'm bullish about. And even, I don't know, like how music will, like, I think YouTube like now mm-hmm. Have added a lot of new musicians, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, I think, so it's very difficult for them to monetize things, but I think NFTs can make a big difference, especially
mm-hmm.
in country like India, where like more people would like to maybe come up, maybe start their own band and then start monetizing it. That's a different ballgame.
Yeah. I mean, there was actually an article today that Spotify is testing playlists that can only be accessed if you hold NFTs. And, you know, that instantly gives people a way to monetize playlists or music that they've put together. Because people will, you know, want to listen to a specific type of music, and, you know, that's something they would potentially be willing to pay for. So, you know, the fact that we're seeing Spotify, who's one of the biggest music, you know, contributors or like streaming platforms, looking at NFTs kind of gives you an indication of where the space is heading and the potential that it can actually have for not only, I would say, for primarily the music artists, because in the industry, they're the ones who are usually left behind the most in terms of how much they get paid and how much they actually get to keep from their record labels. So I think that's going to be like a big shift in like dynamics of the music industry if NFTs are able to integrate properly.
Yeah, so the tokenization of assets is something that is a long-term story. Let's see how things go right here.
No, yeah. Definitely. In that case, I think that's been a very quick half an hour. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you. And, you know, I'm really excited to see how you guys are going to develop the protocol, and I'm excited to see how it will change. And I want to, you know, I'm really interested to see how other people are going to develop with your protocol and make changes to it. I think that's the most important thing or interesting thing for me. So yeah, I want to say thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. For anyone who wants to find you on social media, feel free to just plug yourself.
Yeah, so like if you want to if you want to directly contact me, you can contact me at the rate of Bittu Shaji, or you can contact the Naughty Boy Project. So mm-hmm. both the handles are available, and that's it.
Awesome. Yeah, so what I'll do, I'll include those links in the description of the video as well, so people can go ahead and find you. But AP, it's been awesome speaking with you.